All right, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blind Side Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? You know what time it is. It's time to talk some football, guys. We are halfway through the season, and we are buzzing through it. It's just a blink of an eye, and it's already halfway done. We still got a whole other half, thank God, because I'd be depressed if otherwise. But the NFL is heating up, and talk about heating up. Oh, my God. If you tuned in today before the trade deadline, trades were happening at a rapid pace, left and right, more than what we thought, because we actually thought maybe two trades happened. But, man, oh, man, it was multiple trades. It was, like, kind of brought me back to, like, free agency frenzy almost, where constant signings were happening. Trades were happening all over the field. Now, here's a crazy thing, though, is some of the trades and some of the teams that did trade, I expected other teams to pursue a pass rusher and stuff like that, like Atlanta Falcons. That didn't happen. So it begs the question now. Now that the trade deadline has come and gone, what are those – are those teams – they must be comfortable with what they have. They shouldn't be, but they must be.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting to see who the buyers and sellers were in this one. Right. You know what I mean? Because, again, when it came down to it, I'm seeing some of the names pop up, especially the Arizona Cardinals. Getting saucy up in there, you know. I thought that was interesting there. Now that they're leading the division right now, they've got a new whole look on the division and the perspective of their season. I'm sure right now, so a lot of people probably didn't see that trajectory going forward. A lot of crazy stuff so far. We're gonna get into it, Joe. By this time, this recording for once. So instead of just doing a live stream, by the time you guys see this video, potentially we could have a new elected president here, or you know, who knows? They'll be still counting votes or whatnot.
Exactly.
So who knows? But here we go. It's gonna be another exciting week. I think it's an exciting day for everybody here. So I hope everybody got a chance to get out there and vote and do their part.
That's right.
But Joe, tell everybody quick before we get into this where you can find this video and more like this.
Jim, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was just about to do that. Nice. It's very simple, guys. You can head over to either our website at grumblingsmedia.com. Check out all the great articles over there. Also, there's other podcasts just like ours. There's sports, entertainment, political, everything else out over there. And you could also help us out hugely. Head over to YouTube for us. Go to Grumblings Media. Hit that subscribe button for us. It really does go a long way. Hit the thumbs up. While you're there, don't forget to comment down below. Share it to all your families and friends because this show is growing really rapidly, and we need you guys to continue that elevation as we climb to the top of the mountain. We want to be one of the best out there, and we already know that we are the best and most interactive NFL talk show you're going to find, but we need you to help us reach other ears and get in tune with each other here. So help us out a lot with that, and you can also take us on the go with you anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, there you go, Joe. That was a mouthful there. But, yeah, so let's get right into it. I'm just going to go by the way NFL.com has, you know, the trades laid out of most recent and just kind of roll through it all. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a little game of win, lose, or draw. How about that, Joe? And that reminds me of back when this was a TV show back in the 80s. And I think they brought it back now, too, a little bit here and there. Now they're running on Disney, but – win, lose, or draw, what a great show, and brings us back to our, you know, childhood or whatnot. So
it's one of those things where, like, it kind of popped in my head today. I'm like, we should just do, like, win, lose, or draw for the trades because
– I love it.
It makes sense, right?
It does. Absolutely. It's better than grade the trade, too. I love it. So there we go. Win, lose, or draw. So let's get right into it. The San Francisco 49ers, they received defensive tackle Khalil Davis, and Houston receives a 2026 seventh round pick. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this one so far?
I mean, it's a depth move. They're hoping that they're going to, you know, strike while it's hot. Like, they're hoping that Khalil Davis could come in and give it a little bit of a spark to that D-line. Because we know, like we've talked about it, that's the one area of this San Francisco 49er defense that's struggling. Like, that D-line is not the same it was the year prior. And when you have just basically Nick Bosa and everybody else that's really not doing much, Nick Bosa's – the one guy getting double teamed every snap. Hey, Nick, how does it feel to be like Max Crosby right now? Because you're the only dude on that D-line that can really, you know, disrupt and aggravate offenses. So now they pull a move to get Khalil Davis in there. Hopefully he can insert himself and start to produce for the 49ers. So this move to me is a draw. It's a draw for me because it's not like they traded for anybody. Like if they were to trade for like Ed Oliver out of nowhere from Buffalo or something like that of that nature, Quinnen Williams from the Jets, we know those teams weren't looking to trade those guys, but I'm just saying a caliber player of that magnitude would have went a long way for this franchise, but we didn't see that. We just kind of like, it's kind of like an average move.
Right, and I agree with you here, too. Again, depth piece, he's not adding anything to this team right now except for see what happens. He's still 28 years old. And you traded it away, you know, not next year's seventh round. It was the year after that, so 2026. So not going to hurt you right now, nothing crazy, even if it's a seventh. So right. Like I said, it's a lateral move. So I'm going to go with the draw, too, as well on this one. All right, next up we've got Tre'Davious White now. How about that? We were talking about how he's declined a bit and just not looked like he was, you know, back with Buffalo. And I think even his best season with the Buffalo Bills happened to be 2019, where he had 6 interceptions and 58 combo tackles. Right. I haven't seen that guy since. He's been very injured and things like that and not really playing as much. So and that's why I think we're seeing the lack of production, too, on top of it. So we saw kind of this happening, something like a trade of some sort, the Los Angeles Rams kind of unloading him here. Here it is. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens, and they also get the 2027 seventh round pick, and Los Angeles will receive the 2026 seventh. So they swap sevenths a year apart from each other, and Baltimore now has Tre'Davious White. And what do you think about this one here for Baltimore?
I mean, this is one of those moves where it's a salary dump. This is a move where Tre'Davious White came in, they signed him. They were hoping that he would be the starter for this year, but due to injuries, and let's be honest, he came back from a very, very serious injury with his knee and his ACL and all that. So sometimes it takes longer than you expect before you're able to get right back to what you used to do. So for Tre'Davious White, maybe he just wasn't ready. He did, in fact, lose his job to a younger corner who was up and coming anyway. So for Tre'Davious White, it's all well and good. You sign with the Rams, you're hoping to kind of revitalize your career. But you lost your job fair and square, honestly. Like, and you're not the same player you used to be. So this is just a salary dump. You know, the Rams moving from him. And for the Ravens, this is like a typical Raven move where they're going to get a veteran presence here and a guy who they can just kind of, once he learns that defense, he can just step right in and play when and if needed. It's not guaranteed this guy's going to see the field, even though he got traded to Baltimore. But it's a salary dump for the Rams. The Ravens are going to utilize him. And we all know the Ravens are pushing for deep into the playoffs. They're trying to get to that ultimate, you know, trying to chase that crown for the Super Bowl. So this is a move where it helps both teams. So I think this is a win for both teams. The Rams move on from him and get rid of that contract. The Ravens can utilize him as a depth piece. And maybe if somebody does get injured, he steps in as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way if you want to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. Again, salary dump. Both teams win on this one. And, again, you're not risking anything on this one. Have him in the depth with the corners that you do have even right now. I mean, sure, why not? You know, Baltimore doesn't exactly need it, but there you go. I think it'll help in the long run. Especially
when you look at Marlon Humphrey. Here's the thing, Marlon Humphrey isn't the healthiest corner, and he's already been banged up this year. Yeah. So they're actually planning ahead for in case he does, in fact, miss any significant time, or perhaps worse.
Right. Yep, exactly. So next up, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers make a trade here. Pittsburgh will receive Preston Smith. The Green Bay Packers will receive next year's seventh round pick. Here again, and this was like a salary dump too as well for the Green Bay Packers, and I think it's a great move for the Pittsburgh Steelers here too. Why not? You know, add to what they have here on that defensive side of the ball, so it's not just even you know, the TJ Watt and, you know, Highsmith. So then you've got this guy too on top of it. They're making a push right now to really try and make a run here while there's, well, strike while the iron's hot here. And they have Russell Wilson here on, under a smaller contract and what they're going to do. And again, you got you trade away nothing for it. So
you trade away nothing for it, but I'm confused. Why is the Steve Smith, who is a aging pass rusher, who they already have three really good pass rushers. Everybody knows TJ Watt. Some people don't really know Alex Highsmith, but he's there on the opposite side. He's wreaking havoc. And then did a great job when Highsmith was those guys. Those guys are already there. So to me, I question this trade for the Steelers. I really do. I get it for Green Bay. He's an aging guy. You move on from his salary. You get a low pick because you're not going to get anything of any significance. But for the Steelers, to me, I kind of question this move. So, like, I would say it's a win for the Packers. For the Steelers, I don't know, man. It's kind of like it's a draw. Like, how much field time is this guy actually going to get? He's not going to play over Alex Highsmith. He's not going to play over TJ Watt. So, I don't know. I question this one.
All right, you're breaking up a bit there, Joe. I don't know if we can figure something out here on that end. But, yeah, I mean, I kind of hear what you're saying here, too. But I just think that they're just looking at, you know, whatever, a seventh isn't nothing to them. You know, why not get this guy, too? I think it's a great depth piece, if anything, too. I don't think, I mean, there is real, like, a loser in this situation. I think Pittsburgh is still going to do something with this. And I don't think, again, they're looking at this guy. You always talk about, you know, maybe you won't trade a guy if you're not expecting to re-sign him and stuff like that. Some teams do. Some teams do just trade for the guy, use him out this year, and then see you later. They gave up nothing for him and stuff. So I think I don't think they mind, you know, walking away after this one, you know, especially if they do get a championship out of it. But, all right, let's move on to the Steelers. We'll go with the Steelers here again and stick with them. And they actually go out and make the trade. We talked about the New York Jets putting Mike Williams out there after they go and get Davante Adams. And we haven't seen a move yet and things like that. And then here we go. Lo and behold, we hear the news today on the trade deadline. And Mike Williams now goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers here. And the Jets will receive next year's fifth-round pick for this one. I thought the value was interesting here on this one. What about you, Joe?
I mean, I get it. Like, you're trading for Mike Williams, who you're hoping this guy could stay healthy. That's one. Two, the as far as the compensation goes, he's really young. Like, he's still young, still in his prime. So you're hoping that, A, he stays healthy, and, B, he progresses and develops even more than what he already has. So. I think this is a smart move on both parties. Like, we all know that Mike Williams wasn't even getting on the field very much for the Jets. So why not move from a piece like him? And the Pittsburgh Steelers, we know that they've been looking for a wide receiver, searching high and low, calling other teams, and just haven't been able to agree on a deal. But here you go. Now you're going to bring in Mike Williams, who's a bigger target, who's going to add a little bit of a different, you know, archetype of a wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers, more like of a red zone threat. So I think this is a win-win on both sides.
Right. I agree with you completely too, as well. I think both sides win on this one. And there you go. They were looking for that extra receiver there for Pittsburgh. I think it fits out there. And a fifth, like I said, if I'm the Jets, I'm ecstatic about that. Like I said, I'm liking that situation here for the compensation. So,
100%.
All right, next we've got the Washington Commanders and the New Orleans Saints here. We talked about this a few weeks ago, too, with the Marshawn Lattimore situation. When will he get moved?
Yep.
And with what just went down with the Saints, too, maybe that's a situation we'll talk about a little later, too. But we're starting to see the axes start to come down here, Joe. So we'll see we'll be tracking Coach Hot Seats pretty soon again here, too, especially after a few key losses with some of these other teams. But Marshawn Lattimore on the move. goes to the Washington Commanders, and they also will receive next year's fifth-round pick. The Saints will receive next year's third and fourth and sixth-round picks. There you go.
Loading up for next year. That's a lot of compensation, man.
And it's crazy, too, how the first 2 weeks of the Saints season, and then how quickly it just fell off. The wheels fell off, Joe. And here we are.
Yeah, it fell off because of poor play calling. Like, that's really what happened. The offense started to struggle, which led to the defense struggling. And so far, they haven't been able to find out the new groove and get back on track. Even this past week, like, even getting Derek Carr back, like, it wasn't enough. This team is in disarray. They just don't even – it's like they had an identity in the first 2 weeks. After that, I don't even know who the Saints are anymore. And this is where you see – we've kind of alluded to a week ago where we thought this could be a possibility, but I didn't picture Marshon Lattimore going in a different jersey other than Kansas City, because I know Kansas City Chiefs were very interested in getting Lattimore, you know, and putting a Chiefs helmet on him, and it just didn't happen. But I think the compensation is a lot. It's a lot for a aging corner that constantly gets injured every single year. How much longer is this guy going to play for? How often is he going to be on the football field for you? So I think they gave up too much compensation, to be honest, just to get Lattimore. I almost got to say that this is kind of like a draw for me. Like, I don't think it's good for the Saints. The Saints move on from him because, obviously, listen, what have you done for me lately? You're not on the football field enough. Well, we love you, but you got to go.
Yeah, and I mean, I look at this, too. I guess I would say it's tough to say because almost when you look at win, lose, or draw, is there a loser in this one? I don't exactly think so, even though, again – Washington did give up, multiple picks. So I would say the Saints definitely won with the getting the compensation. But I think the Commanders, on the other hand, I think this still helps them again because it's will help that secondary. I think still either way with where they've
been.
Well,
they need another corner anyway. Side.
So yeah, so I think both teams, like you said, if you want to look at it as a draw, but I think the compensation, like you're saying, was also kind of steep for him as well. Because, again, like you said, production's down because, again, he's been injured a lot. You know what I mean? He's not that Pro Bowler that he was early on in his first, like, seasons or so.
Talent-wise, he is. It's just he's injured all the time. So it's like, what are you getting? Are you getting a guy who's only going to play six games a year? You know, or are you going to get a guy who's going to stay healthy and last longer? So that's the thing with any aging athlete. And these injuries start to creep up on them, and it happens more often. There's just that little negativity to it, to where if you're not on the football field, it's going to bite you in the ass later on.
All right, let's go to the next one. This one kind of troubles me here. It's kind of boggles my mind, though, I guess, too. The Dallas Cowboys here, they make the trade. Wide receiver Jonathan Mingo in the 2025 seventh-round pick. And the Carolina Panthers receive a fourth-round draft pick for this one. So, okay, Carolina gets a fourth for Jonathan Mingo, and they also give up their fifth. So they swap picks, basically, in a receiver. But what is Dallas really getting out of this? Like, I don't understand this. Do you?
No, and I don't think anybody understands it. This is the one thing that, like, drove me nuts today. The fact that the Cowboys.
What the hell
are you doing? Jerry Jones, like, are you stealing? Are you losing your mind? The biggest problem that you had on your team was running back. You didn't even make a trade for a running back. You didn't even make a trade for an offensive lineman. You didn't make a trade for anything that would really help you moving forward. You traded for yet another wide receiver that you really don't need. I understand that CeeDee Lamb might be on the mend. He might miss some time because he got an injury. But you don't trade for another weapon. And let's face it, Jonathan Mingo hasn't done anything yet in the NFL. I understand he was in Carolina, really wasn't working out there. Maybe a change of scenery will work better for him. Maybe a more veteran leadership in a quarterback like Dak Prescott. But even he's missing a month. He's going to be out for 4 weeks. So What the hell is happening in Dallas right now? Like, panic button galore. You got to hit the panic button if you're a Cowboys fan, if you're a fan that follow, if you're someone that follows the Cowboys. Like, this is crazy. I've never seen a more idiotic move for a player than the Dallas Cowboys today.
Right. And
definitely
I don't think
lose. Definitely a loss. Definitely a loss.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on that one too. Because it troubles you. And I know Jerry Jones came out and said that, well, I think we could still come back in this season and make something out of this season. Where? Again, we sometimes have joked around and said that Cooper Rush had played better than Dak Prescott at times.
Right.
But like you said, your failure isn't at wide receiver. I mean, even again, if you do lose CD Lamb for a little bit, still, I think Tolbert's been able to doing mm-hmm. something here for you too as well. You've got Turpin mm-hmm. too as well. So you've got some depth there and that they could still, I mean, it's better than what some of these other teams have. You know, I think you could do,
right.
I've seen teams do more with less. And I don't mm-hmm. think that's an issue. Like you said, your main issue is not being able to be balanced and run the football. And we right. see that again this last week. And, you know, so they're on a downward train, and getting Jonathan Mingo isn't the key pieces that's going to save your season. You know what I mean? At this point, you should be maybe selling. You know what I mean? If you're the Cowboys, you should start dangling some of that fresh meat out there. Say, hey, what do you guys think about this? You know, what do you think about that?
I mean, that's a crazy thing, too, is you bring up that, like, maybe they should have, like, been sellers. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, Deron Bland, if you don't plan on re-signing him, because he's gonna command some hefty money there. So mm-hmm. he's going to be seen as one of the top 10, if not top 5, or maybe even higher type of a corner, because what he was able to do last year, you're like, holy crap, that's never been done before. And now, he was out for half the year. He's just kind of starting to get in the flow of things this week. But if you don't plan on signing him long term, you might as well dangle him out there, get a first round pick. Who knows what else you could get for him? But he's not the only player, too. You got to worry about Micah Parsons. He's going to want his money. Now, we know that Micah Parsons most likely is not going anywhere because that is a cornerstone piece.
Right.
Jerry's not going to give him up very easily. So, but Deron Bland made a lot of sense. If they were going to move on from somebody, that's someone that you could have got high level compensation for. But again, they weren't sellers; they were buyers, but in a market that didn't fit them. Like, it was almost like they just made a bad stock choice. They're like, "Oh, I think we're going to go with this. We're going all in. Let's go. Let's go get Mingo."
Right?
Is it really going to? It's not going to help your team. Like, this is common sense. This isn't has nothing to do about would you do this trade or not for Mingo. No, it's fine. You want to get a young guy in there, whatever. But for the Cowboys, this doesn't make sense. Now, if it was a different team, maybe needed more depth or something like that for the playoff run, I get it. But Cowboys, what the hell are you thinking?
Right. If you make a trade now, I say you are planning to do something in the second half of the season. Getting a young wide receiver that's unproven right now does not advance your team this season. I say that's a long-term goal. And that's that's why it's very confusing on this one.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I think they definitely lose on this one. Now, on the other hand, we talked about the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe they should have went and got a running back here. We do see the Cincinnati Bengals. Hey, they finally figured out. They're like, hey, man, you know. Well, Zach Moss, you know, banged up too here too. That helps, but he's sucked all year just about. And so they go and they realize now with having DeAndre Swift there over with Chicago that they can, what's Khalil Herbert doing over there? But you guys aren't even using him over there. What do you think? What do you think about bringing him over here? So here they go. They pull off the trade and they get they only have to give up a seventh rounder to the Chicago Bears here. I like this situation. I think you're giving up basically nothing again, and maybe that'll help out the situation here because Khalil Herbert has showed back there when he's been in the backfield before that he can do something here. So I think that adds a little bit of a spark to this Bengals offense that really needs it.
I mean, I don't think they really need it. I mean, Chase Brown has been that start. That
yeah, that's true, too.
He's been the big difference maker the last couple of weeks. And actually, Chase Brown has beaten out Zach Moss before his injury. Just flat out beat him out because he's a better playmaker. He's a better catcher out of the backfield. He just does so much more for this offense. And that's why they Zach Moss, when they got hurt, they're like, oh, okay, we got Chase Brown. We're good. But depth. They are planning. This is one of those teams where we saw this team as a fringe team, possibly turning it around, getting back into the playoff hunt. This is a move that shows you that they think the same thing. They're right back into the swing of things. Let's go out there. Let's get Khalil Herbert, who's a young and a decent running back, mind you. Like, the guy doesn't get any kind of praise at all when being in Chicago, but he's a decent running back, and he will fit very nicely in the Cincinnati Bengals offense. And with Zach Moss being hurt, now here's the crazy thing. Zach Moss being hurt, does that make him cuttable even? Because after he comes back, he's going to be the third option maybe, and the Bengals might be willing to move on from him at that point, so to dump salary. But for the Bengals making this move, Cowboys, I don't understand why you didn't make this move, because this would have made more logic. This would have way more logic right here. If the Cowboys made a move and got Khalil Herbert, I'm like, all right, okay, this makes sense. But the Bengals beat them to the punch. The Bengals, they needed depth. They identified the problem. They fixed it, and for basically nothing. So good job, Bengals. This is a win all around.
Right, and if you look at Khalil Herbert's numbers too, Joe, knocking out this season because, again, the fact that they went and got DeAndre Swift, he has never cracked 1,000 yards, but he hasn't he started 12 games total in three seasons, and he averages 6.7 yards a carry just about every year. His first rookie season, 6.9. So the potential you could have that plus catching out of the backfield as a depth piece like you're talking about, I think this is a wonderful move by the Cincinnati Bengals to help balance out that offense even more and to, like you said, make that push into the playoffs. I think it was brilliant and a move that the Cowboys probably should have done. Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. And it's good for Chicago because Chicago, you know, by making this move, Chicago didn't plan on re-signing him.
Right.
So they move on. Everybody's happy. Khalil Herbert's got to be overjoyed because now he's on a Bengals team that's actually going to use him. So we'll see how that works.
Right. And I think really, again, depending certain how the rest of the season goes, I still think he has a realistic shot to do something here. Next up, we've got the Detroit Lions here. We talked about Detroit potentially making a move, which is funny, too, because the Giants holding on to old Jalari and stuff, you know. We had heard so many rumors that maybe they could dangle him out there and things. Maybe there were talks and it just wasn't good enough compensation on the Giants' end or what they were thinking. So that
there was
did not
a
happen.
Lot of, from what I understand, there was a lot of teams that called about old Jalari first. And the Giants had many phone calls. I don't know how many teams exactly, but I know it was reported many. I don't know what that means. Could have been half the league. Could have been seven. Who knows? But he had attention. He had teams calling up the Giants and asking his availability and seeing how much they wanted for him. Maybe the asking price was too high for a lot of teams because he is young. And, you know, maybe that was the sticking point for a lot of teams. Or maybe it was just because, you know, of the value. I mean, maybe that was the sticking point there. Is they just didn't want to give up maybe a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick or something of that nature that maybe the Giants were looking for. So that's kind of what I lean towards, because to have all that interest and then nobody pull the trigger, we know that the Giants are not going to re-sign Aziz Ojulari after this year. Like, they've already poured a lot of money into Brian Burns and Sexy Dex and all these guys that are going to be there for the long haul. So, for me, that's a surprise. I actually was surprised to not see him move somewhere. And even Atlanta. I thought Atlanta would have been a very nice spot for him. It never happened. And you're right. The Lions make a move, but it's not for Ojulari. It ends up being for Za'Darius Smith, the veteran pass rusher. And we saw this happening. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. We talked about it last week. We just didn't know who it was going to be. Was it going to be Za'Darius? Was it going to be Ojulari? But we got our answer today. They went with I feel like they went with Za'Darius because, one, he's a veteran who's been there and has won games before, like gotten into the playoffs, understands all how to handle himself. And two, you gave up nothing. You gave up a seventh-rounder for this guy.
Yep.
Like, you gave up nothing to get him, and it's like, okay, it's almost like a one-year rental in a sense. Like, because you're still going to have to, if you want to keep him after this year, you can re-sign him. But if you don't want to spend the money after this year, because you know the Lions have been building this roster up, maybe in the upcoming draft to get another pass rusher, and then that makes him expendable. So this is a smart move by the Lions. Smart move by Cleveland, even getting rid of Za'Darius because they weren't going to pay him. He was going to end up being a free agent regardless. Yep. And the Lions get him for the stretch down in the playoffs. And honestly, and this is kind of funny though, is that even though Hutchinson's not there, I got to give credit to this D-line of the Lions. They've been able to step up. And granted, they're much better when Hutch is in there, but they've been doing their thing. So this defense has been playing better. Now they get Za'Darius in the lineup. I think this is a great move. It's a total win for me.
Yeah, I think it's a win too as well on that one. And, again, you give credit to the defense. Look how they played even losing Brian Branch early on in that game too with the penalties. Yeah. Again, looking at the stats he has for Cleveland right now, he has 5 sacks right now, and he already equaled what he had the total of last year. And like you said, aging, he's 32 years old. And next year, if they decide they want to cut him too, whether pre or post June 1st, they save $5 million bucks on the contract here too. So and he's got a contract up to 2028, which are all void years. So they they're absolutely losing nothing. They're losing nothing on this whole situation.
So in that contract, this is the last year he's under contract, correct?
Right. Right. Yeah. Oh, so like 2025 is.
So next year.
Yeah, next year.
So next season is his last year technically.
Right. Right.
But like you said, like they can still get out.
They can still get out of it.
They don't want to pay it.
Yep.
It's going to be up to Detroit. So like they can keep him on if they want to. If not, and let's just say this. If he doesn't work out, you cut bait and you're fine. You can go draft somebody. But if it does, then you have him for at least another year. I mean, but 33 years old though at the DN, like, I don't know, man. It gets a little rocky there. But hey, great move all in all.
Yes, I agree with that one too as well. It can't hurt going into making the playoffs like you're doing right now, and a team that so far it has been very healthy. You know what I mean? So if you want to keep it that way, and you guys want to be able to keep on this pace. It's hard to keep this pace of what they're doing right now.
Not just what they're doing right now, but they are the hottest team in football right now. Like nobody can even touch them. I don't care who you are. Like their offense is just amazing right now. They've been able to execute on all cylinders. Like it's been incredible to watch this Detroit Lions team. And then with the constant evolution the last couple of years of this defense getting better and better and better, man, they look like something special. Now, the only thing that could derail this, and we've seen it before it happens to teams, is injuries. You know, something of that nature, that could be the only real thing I think that might, you know, haunt them or kind of like knock them down a couple of pedestals. But right now, they are definitely on fire.
Yeah, and it's funny. It's like if you look at it right now and you say two best teams right now on either side, which is even say, let's say even because the Chiefs are undefeated right now. If there's a Chiefs and Lions Super Bowl right now, I'm giving it to the Lions all day. Dude, I'm saying they crush them. The way the Chiefs are playing right now, I said they crush them. Wait.
Hold on a second. Chiefs aren't playing good. Let's be honest. It's the freaking referees that basically hand them these freaking wins. I got to say, after watching that game with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, holy crap. It is no more evidence that you don't need anymore. It's crazy. People are losing their minds on social media platforms, looking at the video, posting it, like, oh, they missed this call. Blatant stuff. Mm-hmm. And possibly costing the Buccaneers to win that game. We saw that It happens throughout the game. It's not just towards the end of the last drive or anything. It's absolutely absurd how many calls the referees either miss or choose to miss when in critical moments for the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. This is absolutely insane. I saw a huge shift in how they were calling a game as they got into overtime. It was like towards the end of the fourth quarter, and then as soon as they got into overtime, all hell broke loose against Buccaneers. They were throwing penalties on them like freaking crazy. So I don't think the Chiefs are actually playing good. In fact, they're not.
Right.
The defense is, don't get me wrong, the defense is kind of the only thing that's working for them. But that offense is so bad right now that they definitely need a little help, and that's why they're so undefeated. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and I definitely give a lot of credit to Baker Mayfield right now, what he's doing with that team, especially not having your two top receivers there in that game.
Yeah.
Playing with a lot of fire and doing what he did. I mean, you're the guy who scored the game-tying touchdown, Ryan Miller. Like, most people don't even know who Ryan Miller is. You know what I mean? So that's what's amazing about it.
Yeah,
but
a lot of young
guys. I think also the thing with the Chiefs, poor time management again. I think really the Bucs should have probably let it tick down instead of calling timeout at 30 seconds. They should have let it tick down a little further. So do you leave them with nothing? And then really just go for two. Because, again, what are you going to do? You have nothing to lose anyway. I don't think you were expected to win without your two receivers anyways. And
I mean,
you put it all out there right there.
Any given Sunday, man. And Tampa Bay showed that to us and proved it to us. And I agree with you, Jim. It was around 30 seconds left in the game, maybe even a little less than that, maybe a little bit more. But why are you calling a timeout right away? I know you got down to the goal line, but let that clock run.
Let it go.
Let it run.
Time's on your side.
Listen.
You're like on a one-yard line.
Chiefs know that you're right there next to the goal line. They're expecting you to run, and they stuff the first play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come back and now you create that little play action play and you dump it over to Ryan Miller over in the corner of the end zone, that's something that they didn't anticipate. Mm-hmm. And you could have done that play with the clock running.
Yep.
You know, you had that timeout
in the
back of your
pocket. And then still have
you
the timeout.
You could have ran a play real quick, run it into the line. If you get in, great. If not, then you just choose away that clock, and then you still got that timeout. You can call it whenever you want. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you, Jim. I think they kind of mismanaged a little bit Todd Bowles and the Buccaneers on that particular play.
Yep.
But, man, it was one hell of a game, though. It was an amazing game. So I can't wait to see, you know, that happen again. Tampa Bay's been playing really good football, even though they are without their two top weapons.
Yep. All right. And getting lastly now to the last trade that we end up finding out about today. The Arizona Cardinals here receive linebacker Baron Browning, and the Denver Broncos will receive the 2025 sixth-round pick here on this one. What do you think, again, here with the Arizona Cardinals trying to improve their team?
Jim, I never thought I'd say this, but the Arizona Cardinals are leading the division right now.
I know.
It's insane. After pulling off a win, they are ahead of everybody in that division.
What?
I thought for sure that they were going to be on the bottom of the division at this point, and they are not. They are absolutely superseding expectations, playing really solid defense. The offense is doing whatever is necessary to put points on the board, and now they make a move to add a pass rusher. And I think this is kind of one of those things where could the Cardinals be pushing for a wild card maybe? Could they be doing a little bit more? I mean, it's going to be a tall task to overcome because you got these other teams below them that are getting healthier now. They're going to they're going to start to try to catch up on them, maybe even pass them. But the Cardinals, I think this is an excellent move. I think this is a win for me. I like what they've been able to accomplish thus far. But we know that in any stage of football, it's about how you finish. It's not about how you start. You got to finish the season and finish it on a high note. So that's going to be the interesting part to watch for as we go into every single week.
Yeah, definitely. And again, something to help that defense a little bit because, yes, they have been playing better and doing enough to get them in there to win. But it's a lot of it is their offense, too, the ability to score with some of these other teams and keep them in the games, too, because so many games already this season that they barely lost in, they were putting up a good amount of points here, too. So that's what was kind of interesting about this team. When you looked at them, you're like, wow, look at these guys go. Okay, they're staying competitive. Wow, okay, that's different. Okay.
Right,
And that was the main thing here. And now, lo and behold, surprise, here they are in first place in this division that's so close. And I think they realize this, that here they go. They can get a linebacker that can help them out in the defense. But they look at the schedule going farther here, and teams like the 49ers have some tough competition still to face in the second half of this season. And same thing with the Rams too as well. So, you know, the road isn't that rough, I think, for the Cardinals here. And they see their other opponents in that division to where I don't think they're exactly looking at wild card berth. I think they really realistically think they could take this division. And then if they do fall back a little bit, they can fall back on that wild card.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, this is something we didn't see. And I understand, like, last week, okay, they beat Chicago. Like, I'm not super shocked by that. But going forward, like, it's going to be tough. They're going to have to face their divisional opponents, and when their divisional opponents are healthier. So it's going to be a big challenge for them. But I am definitely intrigued to see what the Arizona Cardinals can do going forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Joe. Me too. So there you go. That's the trades of today right here at the deadline. So a lot of winners, a couple draws there.
Yeah.
Dallas, they're losers, you know, like they are even right now. So yes. I'm excited
Blitz
about
Nation.
That.
Blitz Nation, we want to hear from you guys too. So, like, we went through all those trades. We want to hear from you guys. What's your favorite trade? What's your win, lose, or draw for each individual trade? Like, what do you guys feel out there? We want to hear from you. And let's get some feedback going there. So make sure you drop down in the comments. Love to hear from you.
All right, Joe, here we go. We talked about a bunch of the games already, a little bit of the ones reacting to some of them. A lot of them really did not let us – did not disappoint us. I think, again, that Vikings game was very interesting.
The Rams, Seattle. Rams and Seahawks?
Ooh,
that was insane.
Yeah.
I was glued to the TV on that game. Like, that was an incredible ending. Just when I thought it was over.
Yeah.
Geno Smith, it should have been, probably. Seahawks.
Right. And again, making the critical mistakes. Oh my goodness.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
It was insane, dude. And then for all intents and purposes, you know, Matt Stafford doing Matt Stafford things in overtime. Like, not one, but two play-action plays that looked eerily similar to each other. And threw to two different receivers on those plays to end the game to DeMarcus Robinson deep in the end zone. Like, oh, wow. What an exciting game to watch. That was awesome. That really was. Yeah. That was a treat.
Yeah. DeMarcus Robinson, a bunch of good catches here, and especially that last one there. Oh, my goodness. But you also, with that offense, you kind of see the difference. Like, we talk about not having Puka Nacua and
weapons,
and Cooper Kupp, but just losing Puka Nacua in that game, that was a major factor. How about that? And so again, Robinson, you know, was able to step up there.
Yeah, and Puka, he punched somebody. Yeah. I got the little alert on my phone or whatever, and I was like, oh, Puka Nacua ejected from the game. And I'm like, ejected? I'm like, what the hell happened?
Mm-hmm.
And then I find out that he had slugged some dude after the play. Just like, wait, Puka, that's not like you, is it? Some out of character moves, and you know, it is what it is. He even apologized afterwards. He was like, I got caught up in the heat of the moment. I shouldn't have done that. I know that. But talk about getting caught up in the moment. The Panthers beating the Saints.
Yeah.
Bryce Young was the starter, everybody. Mm-hmm. Bryce Young got a win. I mean, that Saints team, I'll tell you right now, that Saints team is in dire straits. They already fired Dennis Allen. We called this weeks ago. He was one of our hot seat, you know, combatants or contenders, I should say. And Dennis Allen, boom. We saw this coming. Guy was there too long. Time for you to go, and right there you see it on the picture. Like, we have our suspicions on some guys. Like, obviously there's a couple of guys on that list that we don't think they'll get fired, but we know from a lot of sources out there and a lot of people, a lot of fans, might think otherwise. So that's why we talked about them too. So
I think on some of those, we should probably start putting targets or like at least, you know, crossbars as they get marked off, right?
With the sights, put the crosshairs on.
After every single one, because look, you get marked off. There's Dennis Allen gone, all right? Right. Brian Daboll says he's safe right now, but I don't buy it. Kevin Stefanski is probably on his way out. Doug Peterson, Mike McCarthy probably now after that game. You know, you saw him explode on the sideline with the clipboard. Eberflus, who knows, though, still. And Sirianni, right now, people are still talking about even the Eagles right now, and they're saying, hey, Eagles are good, but they should be dominating. What's the problem? It's Sirianni. So all those guys still, there's some headlines out there about them.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but I feel like the last couple of weeks, he's actually done himself some justice. You know, that offense looks a little bit better than what it was early in the year. So he might just as well save his job. And quite honestly, it's probably Saquon Barkley that's going to save his job, because that dude is a one-man wrecking crew. And he pulled off some crazy moves in that game that you don't see anywhere else than a video game. Like, that stuff doesn't happen.
Or the WWE, and that stuff's planned out. Insane. You know what I mean? When he did the backwards jump over the top, you see that in WWE. And like I said, they planned that. You know, when it does it. It's an act. Like, this was just happened, a random thing, and he did it.
It was like Saquon Barkley bounced off the ropes and then jumped backwards over dude. Like, it was insane to see that play. Yeah. Like, oh my God, Barkley.
Setting up for him to come off the ropes and drop kick.
If you're a fantasy owner, congratulations on picking Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. That dude is going to help you win games by himself, just like he is with the Eagles. So, but yeah, there were some crazy games. And then something else was really good. We anticipated this, the Dolphins-Bills game. We knew that was going to be close, right down to the wire. Right, Tyler Bass hitting a 60-yarder, 61-yarder, something like that, to end the game, to win it. A guy who came through much scrutiny. So much so, the Bills were working out kickers to replace him. And then for him to kind of have that big game for the Bills, that's got to feel great for him. And he was very emotional in the locker room. He received the game ball and just appreciated everybody's support, especially Bills Mafia out there. So kudos to him.
Absolutely, Joe. So here we go. We're getting to week 10 picks. Here's the scores right now here. We're coming back. Multiple weeks of 11-3, 11-4, things like that. So we're doing well coming back. Still trying to get back in it, and we're chasing Stefania Bell, so we're getting closer. getting there. I just want to beat Stefania Bell. Again, it's a former colleague of William Del Pilar. So I want to do right by him and stuff and get back on this one and get on our winning ways. So
that's right.
The record right now is still within two. So, and that's with us picking different picks, you know, here and there too. So, but here we go. Let's get right into Thursday night's game, Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens. This one's going to be an exciting one. Very spicy. I see two offense really going at it here, but two different types of offense. Absolutely. So you all already know. Defense, you got to stop the run. Derrick Henry, big factor again this past season, past week, big factor throughout the season. Lamar, again, got to try and contain here. That's going to be an issue here for the Cincinnati Bengals. But Cincinnati also air attack. And like you said, Marlon Humphreys, can he stay healthy? Can these guys capitalize on balls that are there to him? We saw Hamilton drop a wide open interception. You know what I mean? Things like that. So they got to capitalize on some of these turnovers here for Baltimore. That being said, though, it's going to be tough. I like this game. I can't wait to watch it in Baltimore. I'm going to side, though, with the Baltimore Ravens on this one.
Yeah, this is going to be an epic game. And this is kind of like the game that both teams circle on the calendar because, one, it's a divisional opponent, division rival, and every single time they face each other, it's just – closer and closer and closer. It is right down to the wire. Two teams that understand each other very, very well. So I'll say that. That's why it's so close a lot of times in these divisional games. The Bengals finally found their offense. They finally have things going. But guy that they were without last week in T. Higgins, I'm not sure if he's going to play this week. It sounds like he's on the mend of not playing. Now, if that's the case, they're going to be missing out on yet another week of T. Higgins and his productivity. They're going to have to lean heavily on their tight end like they did last week on Mike Gesicki, who had two touchdowns, over 100 yards receiving. The guy just balled out. So, but is he going to be able to ball out against this Ravens defense? So that's going to be the true test for this Bengals offense. Can he still rack up points against them? And then for the Ravens, you just hit the nail on the head there, bud. Calling that this rushing attack of the Ravens is going to be very difficult to stop. Can the Bengals do it? They struggled up to this point trying to stop the run. And again, it's not the DNs. It's that interior D line that's just not getting the job done. And I'm surprised that the Bengals were not players for a D tackle, whether it be a veteran or of that nature. I know that Quentin Jefferson just got released, a veteran D tackle who's actually a pretty decent player. Maybe they make a move for him. It would be interesting to see if they do that. But obviously they can't do it by Thursday. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be able to be on the field that much. So that all being said, with this game, it's going to be an awesome game to watch. I can't wait to see it. I'm going to side with the Ravens as well. I just think that this is one of those hot teams in the AFC that is now coming into their own. Like we saw early in this season, they kind of struggled here and there. But now they're hitting their groove. They're hitting their stride right now at a sweet time in the year. Give me the Ravens against the Bengals.
All right, here we go. Next, Sunday morning, we have the Germany. Jeez. Here we go, the Giants and the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. This one's exciting to me because I can't wait to get up in the morning and watch it. I think I feel like I want to go to Beer Garden and see if they'll have this game on. You know what I mean? Because right. German and things like that. I'm wondering if they would play this game early 100%. On in the drinking morning.
Yes.
I think it would be totally fun and do this because why not at this point for Giants fans? Might as well start drinking early on a Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. And Carolina now, they have new life here. At this game, I would have almost considered picking the Giants on this one just because how many tight games they've had this season, especially with that defense. Even last week's close was game was surprisingly close for a little bit. And again, so I thought maybe they would have a chance to win this one, but I don't know with Carolina now. Can they string two together on this one, Joe?
That's a big question, Jim. When you got Bryce Young as your quarterback, here's the thing: is Bryce Young had a pretty decent, I'll say he had a pretty decent last week, and that's what kind of helped them lead this offense to put points on the board and get the W. Now you're facing a Giants defense, which is notoriously known throughout the league of putting a lot of pressure on teams and just flat out beating people up. You know, secondary obviously is subpar. It's a little underwhelming. And I say a little, but I mean a lot. So for the Giants, I look for them to put a ton of pressure on Bryce Young. I feel like the Giants defense is going to single-handedly beat this offense and make Bryce Young commit more turnovers, commit more mistakes, kind of like what we're used to if you're a Panthers fan. So to be honest with you, it is in Germany. It's exciting for both teams to go over there, travel, play a game in front of the German fans, and it's going to be chaotic. It's going to be amazing atmosphere there. Give me the Giants, who have done a very good job last week, especially offensively. We saw Daniel Jones kind of like in rare form anyway, like was executing, did a pretty good job running himself. And with this Giants team, with Tyrone Tracy kind of taking over that starting role, I feel like this is going to help this team going forward. They might have found something that they can work with here. Give me the Giants against the Panthers.
Right, and that's the thing is some of these teams or some of the games that the Giants play, you see them play a team like Washington. They had Washington game one that they played.
Yes.
They only had a kicker. Now even they still don't have even a real kicker because even the kicker that they grabbed in free agency, Joseph's injured, and then they grabbed another guy, and it's like and then their punter, Gillen, also did not practice either, too. So, I mean, these guys are having issues in that here, too. So a team that cannot score touchdowns doesn't even have the ability to kick a field goal at this point. So it's very tough for them, and the defense has kept them in it. But like I said early on, this one looks really like a winnable game, especially if they've been if they play this team like they've been playing some of the other tougher competition. I think I'm going to side with the Giants on this one too as well.
Whoa!
Lord, hallelujah. I've been picking up against them. I know, but I hope I just didn't just doom them though on this one by changing them, and change the fate. So I will do the same. And yes, I'm going to be excited for this one. Excuse me, Sunday morning. So Let's go. New England Patriots and Chicago, New England let me down on this one again. I could have swore they could have had that one.
They could have. They definitely could have. Honestly, and you can't say like, oh, well, it's our rookie quarterback, Drake May. He kind of let us down. No, he actually played amazing. Yeah. He actually tied the game with no time on the clock left. This guy was creating time with his legs just enough to hold out to kind of flick that ball over to Ramondre Stevenson and get the touchdown to tie it up. Listen, the Patriots continue on offense anyway, continue to get better with Drake May. Every single week, it seems like he's getting more comfortable. He's got a better understanding of the playbook, and it shows on the football field. So the Patriots, offensively anyway, are starting to figure things out. Defensively, that's a whole kind of other story. And for them to play the Bears, this is kind of like the perfect storm for both teams. These are both teams that are still trying to figure out their way, still trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work. The Bears, there's been a 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks of football that they've played where this offense looked pretty good. Caleb Williams looked pretty good. But then when it comes to playing tougher teams, they regress and don't play so well. What's interesting this week that I saw as a storyline that DJ Moore, their star wide receiver in practice, just left practice. Like, basically quit and just left. I don't know what that means. I don't know if there was a disagreement, argument between him and maybe at Eberflus, whatever the case may be. But that's something to monitor going into this matchup. Is DJ Moore available? We don't know. We don't have any other information other than the injury report that's going to come out tomorrow. So just keep tabs on that and keep a watch. But other than that, the Bears defense, one of the best in the league. Like, really, the only thing that's holding them back is that offense. So, kind of like a contrast of each other. But in this matchup, I know they're playing in Chicago. They play pretty darn well in Chicago. This defense is pretty good. But, man, I struggle with picking Caleb. I don't have confidence in this guy. And when things don't go well, he kind of disappears. Give me the Patriots in this one. I think the Patriots are going to do what's necessary offensively anyway to overcome this defense and get enough points ahead to where it's going to make it harder for the Bears to come back.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tough one for me too because I'm torn in that part where I'm a believer in Drake May again. He was my favorite quarterback going into the draft. I'm excited that he's actually able to play right now and what he's doing and progressing week to week. But Chicago again with that defense, and I think just they still have the ability to especially at home to beat this Patriots team to where they're growing. I don't think they're ready yet, and I think Chicago is in a better situation than they are currently right now. And you know, Chicago still even some better personnel, especially at wide receiver, for them. Even though he said DJ Moore again, you know, leaving, that will be interesting to look into that. But I think if they follow the ground game right now, DeAndre Swift, 4 touchdowns, 505 yards rushing right now already. So he's halfway to 1,000 already. Ride behind that.
Halfway through the year.
Yeah, I know. I get that. But there you go. Ride through that. Get that through there. But then also the factor that we've noticed too on this one, halfway through the year, he already has 29. He's been, Caleb Williams been sacked 29 times. So he's on pace for 60-something sacks. So it's not very good. That doesn't bode well for your quarterback, especially even to stay healthy here. So
exactly.
And like you said, New England's defense isn't there, and I think that's going to be the key factor for this game. I'm going to go with Chicago at home in this one. All right, next we've got the Buffalo Bills and the Indianapolis Colts. One thing I noticed about the Colts last week, and I don't know if you are in agreement with me on this one. We've kind of agreed that Joe Flacco was probably the better option at quarterback for them, at least at this point. But it seems like last week, seems like he's disinterested or something like that. He's not engaged in the game, it seemed like to me. He's just kind of going through the motions. Now, you know, again, you don't even see him looking at the tablet at all, going through plays, really. He's just sitting there on the sideline, arm up. Kind of enjoying the game for the game being there. When he goes out there, no real, you know, emotion there or anything like that, even whether it was a big play or a bad play. I don't know. It just seems like he's just there for the paycheck and that's it. I don't know. What do you gauge from that?
I don't think so. I didn't see any difference in Joe Flacco. I feel like, listen, it sucks when you lose, and he doesn't like losing. So, like, when they were down by a score or two scores, I should say, it hurts. It bothers them. And of course, you're not going to be happy-go-lucky when you're down and you can't figure out a way to get back into the game and maybe tie it or even better score and win. So I just think it was one of those things, like, you know, in the game, in the moment, like just pissed off, just aggravated.
I feel he was missing reads, though, at time, too. You remember you saw him throwing a double coverage when he did have, like, Jonathan Taylor underneath for a first down, and he went for the guy that was in a double coverage. Something different that you don't see from a veteran either, like Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but he was getting pressured and moved out of the pocket quite often. So, like, that leads you into getting rid of the ball, whether it be down the field or whatnot. Obviously, like, it's just one of those things. Like, we can nitpick every quarterback in this league and say, oh, well, this guy was wide open. How come you didn't throw to him? There's all kinds of variables and reasons why. Maybe they're not even looking that direction, or maybe even it doesn't call for that guy to even be open, but he just happens to be. So it is what it is. Like, I don't think Flacco's checked out or is just like, oh, I'm just here to collect the paycheck and I'm good. I still think he's the best option. Clearly, that's why they were even in the game. Otherwise, that game wouldn't even have been close. So I do like Joe Flacco going forward. I think he's the right guy. I think it's going to show the fact that they're going to be able to even stay in games. They might not win a lot of games, but they'll still be in them. So they'll still have some competition. But in this matchup against the Bills, I don't think this is going to be one of those games. This is a team that is on the rise. The defense is starting to play much better in terms of pass rush. But the Bills' offense is starting to click. You're seeing Keon Coleman become a bigger part of it. You're seeing everybody. Now that the fact that Cooper is starting to get healthy with this offense, and you did notice that he's not in the offense 100% of the time. Relax, Bills fans. It's just him learning the whole playbook and getting comfortable with it before he can just be on the football field nonstop. So give me the Bills in this one against the Colts. I think they just have too much firepower.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills on this one again. One thing, again, talking about last week's game with the Colts, I was surprised by their defense and what some of the defensive players were doing, especially Grover Stewart was looking really well, too, for them. He's got 2.5 sacks on the year right now, and I think he might have got, you know, most of those in that game. So, I mean, it was,
well,
hopefully
Grover
with
Stewart,
them, they could kind of turn that up.
Was one of their premier D linemen. He kind of goes under the radar because he's not a big name. But Grover Stewart, and they also, remember, they got back DeForest Buckner to go right next to Stewart. That made a whole big difference on that D-line and how much pressure they were able to create.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. So Buffalo, again, Indianapolis, it was great what they were able to do, though. But, again, I don't think firepower even at this point, too, and the way Buffalo's playing, they're another team that is just playing really well. And then when they get to teams like the Chiefs again, who have been their nemesis, that game, I think, right now has already started and checkmarked for, you know, the next watch one and for the Chiefs to potentially be lose their undefeated streak here going forward. The Denver Broncos, Kansas City Chiefs, who we just talked about it here. Some people are looking at this game, too, just because the way Denver's defense has been playing again lately and how kind of that offense, you know, the way they've been running around, too, also with Bo Nix. Kind of a little bit of a little different look, too, that the Chiefs aren't used to looking here. A guy that can scramble out and still make some plays, much like what Patrick Mahomes does to an extent. Something different here that the Chiefs haven't really seen.
Yeah, I still think the Chiefs' defense is going to be able to contain him and get after him. Like, this is one of those defenses in the Chiefs that blitz a lot. But here's the crazy thing, is the Broncos actually blitz more than the Chiefs. As insane as that sounds, this is going to be a blitz party in Kansas City for both defenses. The last, what was it, 2 weeks ago, I think I looked up the stat or something like that. It was like the Denver Broncos blitzed 45% of the time, more than anybody in the league, not just conference, the league. So this is a team that likes to put a lot of pressure on you. They like to jam you up front, play man, get in your face. How much of that is going to disrupt this Chiefs offense? Because if you notice, every team the Chiefs play, they play a zone. I don't know why people do this, but it just allows the Chiefs to easily get open in these open pockets of the zone defense. That's what Travis Kelce has built his reputation on. It's just running to the open space, turning around, throwing the ball. Like, that's what's killing defenses. Now you're going to play a Denver defense that doesn't do that. They don't typically play a lot of zone, hardly at all. They play a lot of man. They're all over you. They're in your face. So this is going to be a big test, I feel like, for Kansas City. Now, people might laugh at this contest and say, well, Denver's got no right to be in the running against the Chiefs. They should lose by a large margin. I don't think so. This is a matchup that I think is going to really test this offense for the Chiefs and test Mahomes. We've already seen how he's struggling throughout this year. Is it going to continue? Is he going to have a couple more turnovers? Could that change this game? And maybe, quite honestly, give the Broncos a little leg up here, maybe sneaking a win. I would not be shocked if it does happen. But because it's in Kansas City, because both these teams know each other so well, it's going to be close. It's going to be down to the nitty-gritty of it all. I'm going to go with the Chiefs in this one, but I'm not going to be exactly shocked, like maybe some other people out there, if the Broncos are able to pull off a win here.
Right, yeah. Much like what we talked about last week with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, were able to pull something out.
They did.
Same thing here. I agree too. These teams, you see that they're in the same division. They know each other. It's going to be close, and especially the way that the Chiefs have been playing, not very well. It plays right into Denver's game the way they are now too. And the key is, again, contain, because what happens, too, if you get too crazy and you think you're going to go after Patrick Mahomes,
right,
he's just going to bait you and then dish it off to Kelce. They saw it last week, too, where you saw, I think it was one of the defenders here for Tampa, was locked with Kelce, decided to go for Mahomes instead of just containing, and you were within arm's reach of Mahomes, breaks off of Kelce, goes after Mahomes, slips and falls on the ground, and there's Kelce right there, wide open, to get the big chunk of yards here to get the first down. So you can't play into that thing against the Chiefs here. That's their game. That's their bread and butter. That's what they do. I think it's a close one, but like you said, err on the side of caution. They're at home. They've got the refs on their side. I'm going with the Chiefs on this one. There you go. So Chiefs with there like on that it. One. Here we go. Next, the Atlanta
New Orleans Saints. That's the thing is they don't have to play the 11 guys on the field, they got to play 18 guys on the field. So you got to play the refs and the team.
That's right. Yep, definitely.
Advantage so the Falcons. Chiefs.
Yep, the Falcons and the Saints. We see it right here. Saints, again, fire their head coach. Will that spark the team to do something like that? You know, and pull out a victory here? I don't think so. Again, it looks terrible. It's one of the craziest teams I've seen before that just went from putting up combined 80 points or so in the first 2 weeks and to now just can't do anything right. So I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons on this one and then just hope that, again, they can stay consistent. You saw them and dismantle the Dallas Cowboys. Keep it up. Keep it going. Build the momentum. Be stable, you know, because that's what gets you going here in the latter part of the season. And they're still staying fairly healthy here too. So that's key. Keep Kirk Cousins healthy. And make a push here, especially with the way Tampa Bay right now having a tough outing, not having their receivers. You got to be able to kind of stretch this lead out here and take the division.
Yeah, you got to capitalize on this opportunity here for the Falcons. And it's funny that you mentioned the Cowboys in this scenario because the Saints are kind of becoming the Cowboys like.
Right, right.
Chris Olave sustained yet a second concussion in 2 weeks. That's got to be concerning. He 2 weeks ago had a concussion, left the game, was out last week, comes back, and gets another one. So I don't know what his future holds, but it doesn't look good. And quite honestly, if it's a serious concussion this quickly, they might shut him down for the rest of the year. That's got to be concerning. They already are without Rashid Shaheed for the remainder of the season. You basically got Alvin Kamara and Derek Carr and the misfit toys that are your receivers now. So also Bob Means also got injured. So like this team is just injury list is just mounting up like crazy. You trade Marshawn Lattimore away. Things aren't looking good in New Orleans right now. So with all that turmoil going on, the Atlanta Falcons got to capitalize on this, get a W, get back into this race in the division, capitalize on everything from this point on. And Kirk Cousins has all the weapons to do it, has the offensive line, has the running backs, and the defense is playing good football. Give me the Falcons against the Saints. I am anticipating it, not being close, but we'll see.
We got both Atlanta here. The San Francisco 49ers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This is going to be a tough matchup here. I like this game. I'm excited to watch this one. Because I don't know now, Baker Mayfield, the way he's putting this team on his shoulders and what he's doing again, Cade Otton at tight end too, making some plays here, been at safety net for him, much like Mark Andrews has been for Lamar Jackson. Cade Otton is to, Baker Mayfield. So, but San Francisco, they've got a chance here as they're getting healthier here to right the ship here. Now's the time to move forward and get it. So this, either way, I look at this as being a tight game, but I'm going to side with the San Francisco 49ers just because, again, they've got better weapons at this point and more firepower. This is a game that they need if they want to get back in this race.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing is you look at this matchup here and both teams are on different trajectories. The Niners, they're on the trajectory of getting healthier and getting some guys back yet again. It sounds like Christian McCaffrey has a chance to play this week. Nothing definite, nothing, definitive as of right now, but there is a very good chance that he comes back. If that's the case, you get Debo back, a healthy Debo, this team can get right back into the swing of things. And the Buccaneers on their side, they're just beat up. They don't have their top receiving options and honestly they're going to be without Chris Godwin for the remainder of the year. Mike Evans will come back, but man, it can't happen any sooner for this team. So that way they can get right back into this playoff race. But this is a tall task to overcome. The Niners getting healthy like they are, even though they're at home, they play really well. They play really tough. We saw that, when they played the Chiefs, but man, I got to say, give me the Niners this one. They're getting healthier and getting scarier. So give me Brock Purdy and the Niners against the Buccaneers.
Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Washington Commanders. I like this game, too. This one's exciting here. Good to watch. It sucks that they're at the same time here, but hopefully I'll be able to watch them a little bit of each game. Pittsburgh, again, they add a few different things here on the offensive side and the defensive side. Washington adds a little bit here in depth here in the defensive back situation. Two tough teams. This is going to be a good matchup here. It's basically Washington's offense versus Pittsburgh's defense. But Russell Wilson, again, playing very well. I like what they're doing. I think both teams need to concentrate on running the football. Kind of keep the other teams off the field in a sense too. Kind of control it, bounce out. We've seen Najee Harris playing so great this year too on top of it. That's what I'm hoping to get out of this game. What do you think about this one, Joe?
This one's going to be interesting. And we talked about how when Washington played Baltimore, we're like, this is going to be a big test. Are they going to be able to overcome it? But they played really well against the Ravens. And this is a Steeler team that, again, they're going to have to face a very good and star-studded defense. And the Commanders' defense is going to have to face Russell Wilson and their offensive pieces. Now, I'm curious to see, with newly acquired Mike Williams, how often he gets involved in this game, being so new to the offense. But this is something that we look forward to, like these type of matchups. Jaden Daniels being a rookie, playing as well as he is. My key to this game, honestly, is going to be the Commanders' defense against the Steelers' offense. Who wins that battle? That's going to dictate the winner or loser in this game for me. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that they're not playing in Pittsburgh. That's one key thing. They don't have to deal with that crazy crowd in Pittsburgh
and that
noise. I think that plays well for Jaden Daniels and this Washington team. I was really going to pick the Steelers, but I think I'm going to go with Commanders with this one. I think I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels because of his mobility is going to make it hell for T.J. Watt in this defense. If he can not sustain any hits, because that's going to be a big thing for him going forward, don't take the hard hit, slide, get out of bounds, do what you need to do to not take those hard hits. Give me the Commanders against the Steelers in a close matchup here.
All right. Joe's going to go with Washington. I might side with Washington on this one, but again, I'm looking at the two teams. Washington has surprised me with their defense even playing a little better than I expected. But then also Pittsburgh with what, Highsmith, and then also, on the other side of the ball, TJ Watt. I mean, just these guys, and then also even, the secondary, they've got players there. They've got players all around. I think that's going to be the factor, I think, in this one. So I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would have been more convinced, like, if you said, like, same thing. If it was in Pittsburgh, you're maybe siding with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
For me, I think I would be more convinced and easily say Pittsburgh. But with this one, I think it's tight. I think it can go either way. I would not be surprised if Washington does. But
right.
I think I'm just going to edge it out here with experience, with Russell Wilson, the defense. And I'm worried about a shot by one of these defensive pass rushers on Jaden Daniels and if he can sustain a hit. So I'm going to go with
because he's already proven that.
I know, but keep doing it week to week. I mean, that's going to make it worse. You know what I'm saying? You know, enough body blows. You know, you've seen fights. You know UFC, enough body blows.
It'll
take you down. But I hear you. I hear you there. Next, the Minnesota Vikings and the Jacksonville Jags. Jags have been putting up points to try and keep it close, but just, again, not enough to get anything done. Surprised they're not firing Doug Peterson yet. Maybe Shad Khan is, again, really sticking to his guns and say, hey, no, we're going to keep him around still. But I don't know. I think the writing is still on the wall with them. Minnesota, we saw Sam Darnold make a few mistakes last week, but I still think he played a really good game. I don't think he was blowing it. Some of the picks, I don't think were exactly his issue and things like that. It was just a tough matchup here. I think they have a better road here, an easier chance out on this one here. I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings here against the Jacksonville Jaguars. But again, Minnesota, a little rough here coming back here going against the Colts. Colts made it interesting for a little bit, but I think the Vikings, again, a better team. They're going to really take care of Jacksonville.
And yeah, maybe Vikings, we just hear fire. Offensive line had their hands full against the D-line of the Colts last week, and that really was a deterrent of Sam Darnold having a really great game. Early on, it looked like he was on pace to maybe have one of these stellar games with Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison getting involved. And T.J. Hockenson finally getting involved in this offense, healthy yet again. We talked about when that happens, that this offense is going to keep growing and maturing as they go. And they pulled off the win against the Colts. They got back in the win column. I feel like they're going to continue again. They're playing a Jaguars team that has been struggling. And you're right, Jim. I don't, for the life of me, can't figure out why, Doug Peterson is still a head coach right now. I get it. You're trying to finish the season. And the Jaguars really are playing their hearts out for him. They really are. It's not like he's lost the team. They're giving everything they have every single week to try to get him wins and keep him as their coach. But it's just not working. Trevor Lawrence continuing to make some mistakes, but not as many as he used to. He is capitalizing and scoring points now the last couple of weeks. So that's nice. But for the Vikings, I just feel like this defense, this offense is going to be a little too much for this Jaguars team overall. Give me the Vikings.
All right, here we go. The Tennessee Titans. Just when I wrote them off, Joe, they go out and pull out.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable. What the heck, dude?
Oh, man. And so goes the NFL, right? So here you go, Tennessee at the Chargers. Tennessee, again, just I don't think they have enough here. They're even questioning, too, whether they say, what do we do here at quarterback? So I think Chargers, I think they're just, again, built for a tough win here. They're going to run the football. I think overall there's a better team than what the Tennessee Titans are here. I think the Chargers are facing a team like this right at the right moment to where they can actually make a push in this division a little bit, at least to kind of keep pace with the Chiefs when they do kind of falter a little bit here, but try and get one of those wild card spots if they can. So I'm going to go with the Chargers here at home to take on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of like one of those weird matchups, like all reports and all indicators that Will Levis may be making his return this week. And if he is making the return, he's the starter. That's already been clarified. They're not going to stick with Mason Rudolph. The interesting part of this Titans team is how Rudolph has stepped in and has actually propelled this offense to a higher standard, has been putting points on the board, which is giving this team a little bit more hope at this point in the season. Now with Levis coming back, do you really want to disrupt that? And it sounds like they are okay with it. I understand Levis is the starter. Yeah. But this team, let's face it, is not going anywhere this season. So that all being said, give me the Chargers in this one because obviously you have a Chargers team that's competing and can throw the football when they want to. It's just they want to keep running for some reason instead of becoming balanced and being a tougher team. But needless to say, I think the Chargers get this one.
Yeah, and when you're looking at the quarterback situation there, I mean, the bar is pretty low. You know, when you look at Mason Rudolph again, four touchdowns, four interceptions. But again, you know, he's 1-2 as the starter there. But like you said, you're actually doing and putting up points, throwing 59%. But then Will Levis, he's 1-4, 66% completion percentage is there, but five touchdowns to seven INTs. And those INTs, two of them, I think, went for pick sixes that were the game changers and killers in a couple of those. So then his record probably would have been a little better, minus those there. All right, so next up, moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. We just talked about these two teams here on the trajectories. The Philadelphia Eagles looking up, especially under Saquon's hurtling legs. There he is. He's playing outrageous. He's the key to their success. We've said it multiple times. He's the key to their success. They do have multiple weapons there. They can kill you in a passing game, but however Saquon plays, that's where they go. You know what I mean? And Dallas, they're in shambles. Don't have Dak Prescott now. You've got Cooper Rush in there. Again,
this might not be bad.
Yeah, right. We might not be in a situation here, but you hear the dissension amongst everybody in the locker room, though, too. You hear the rumbles with each other. They're kind of upset. You know, we suck, blah, blah, blah. We saw it. Dak Prescott saying hey, we suck on the sideline. Jerry Jones still staying positive through it all, which is kind of funny, too, because normally he's the one that's doom and gloom, like, this guy's playing well. Well, there's other guys that can fill his spot, you know, this and that. He's kind of like, no, we can get this. It's a cowboy way. Not this year, boy. And then you see Mike McCarthy blown up on the sidelines, too. He knows his job is in danger because, again, his contract expires. So when will the hammer come for that? Is it this week right after they play a rival in the Philadelphia Eagles? These two teams hate each other, and it's got to be easy pickings here for the Philadelphia Eagles. Give me the Eagles in this one.
Yeah, you know, in this one, like, it's like beating a dead horse here whenever we talk about the Cowboys. I'm tired of talking about them. They're not worth talking about anymore.
Not anymore.
Every week from this day forth, I am not talking about them. I'm not breaking them down. I'm just going to pick the team against them. Give me the Eagles. They are on, they are flying high, and they are killing it right now. The only concern that I still have, though, is this defense is shaky sometimes. They didn't look that good last week. But I still think the Eagles get the win here.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, though. Dallas Cowboy fans, right, let me zoom up here. Let me talk to you right now. All right, now you've entered the Giants zone. This is where we're at. You suck, and we are betting against you every single week now, just like that. So there you are. Congratulations. We'll welcome you right in. Thank you so much. All right.
Well done, sir.
There you go. Have some of that. All right. The New York Jets and the Arizona Cardinals. Jets and Cardinals, Joe. This one all of a sudden looks a little more exciting, huh? How about that? The Jets. Just when we were looking at them, too, and kind of saying, whoa, I don't know about them. We're not sure what's going to happen here. They pull off a victory against the Houston Texans here, Thursday night football. But the Texans, too, facing some adversity in that game. They had opportunities to get it to, just couldn't capitalize on some of those. If they had some, you know, more health, too, in the wide receiver position, I think that would have helped. You know what I mean? And, again, not having Stephon Diggs for the rest of the year and so on and so on. That's laying big for the Houston Texans right now. But the Jets, something positive out of it. Davante Adams, a scary thing going out with the concussion, but then all of a sudden miraculously coming back and catching some very big balls for them. I think this is going to be an exciting game because the Jets are going to have their hands full trying to stop Kyler Murray and scrambling around there. They need to key up on Marvin Harrison Jr. But I think I'm going to buy in on this. I think this is where they can actually turn it around here. I like Arizona, what they're doing, but I might go with the Jets on this one here. I'm going to side with the Jets and hopefully, again, keep pounding the rock. Give it to Breece Hall. Don't give up. Don't give up. He got stuffed a couple of times last week. Keep it going. Keep getting the ball. Feed him, and get that ball. And keep that offense balanced here. Because Aaron Rodgers, again, at times, he's struggling, missing some throws here. Had some key misses last week. Keep it going, though, and let's get him going.
It's a sad thing to watch, to be honest. Like, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I wasn't, coming into the league. I was shocked that he slid as far as he did into the 20s, and then the Packers took him. I'm like, that's interesting. And now look at where he is now. Like, I remember watching him with the Packers for many years in his prime, just slaying defenses. And now to see him at the latter part of his career, struggling, not doing some of the things that he normally would do as a quarterback, I don't know. He looked like a glimpse of himself in that game against the Texans. You started to see a little bit more of the Aaron Rodgers that some of us are used to. And you saw that prime time Aaron just make stuff happen. And obviously, Garrett Wilson. Holy shit. Did you see the catch back of the end zone? It's the jump man catch. That's what I'm going to call it from now on. Because it looks identical to what Air Jordan did. And but now with the football, he had an amazing catch. Davante Adams was heavily involved when he came back from his concussion, just like he said. And this offense started to look more like we anticipated in week one. They looked like an offense that was tough to defend. They looked like an offense that was able to do whatever they wanted, whether it be running, passing. And that's something that they needed. You know, just to show everybody, like, hey, look, we can figure it out. But in that same game, you also saw the contrast to that and how that offense struggled early on and couldn't figure it out. So this game to me is very tough and difficult to choose because I'm not 100% bought in yet with the Jets. I know I understand they knocked off the Texans and kind of basically an upset win for them, but there's just something's not right still. They're not like as explosive as I think they should be. Give me the Cardinals in this one I like their defense and how well they've been able to play. I'm just not buying into the Jets just yet. I think this is going to be one of those weird games where kind of like the Texans and Jets game where both teams are going to try to figure each other out and it might take a quarter or two until they do. And then the second half, it's going to be like kind of like this crazy scoring frenzy. But I think that the Jets defense having to deal with Kyler Murray is going to be very difficult. Give me the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, here we go. I like it. All right, Detroit and Houston. This is a great game here. Thursday night or for Sunday night. So there you go. You've got Houston who played Thursday, get the long, rest here to Sunday night. And another big matchup here against the Detroit Lions who are on fire right now. And then they just added, a pass rusher too onto their team as well. And they're playing on all cylinders again, and like I said, it was great to see them step up without having Brian Branch last week here with the, him getting ejected from the game early on. And that offense and Jared Goff, again, just when you think he can't get better, you can hear the disdain in Tom Brady's voice too, as he's like, man, I was like, oh, he's going to come back to earth this week. I was like, oh, he's throwing 84% right now. Completion. What are you doing? Those are shattering my records. But what they're doing here, again, on offense, where they're lining up, if it's not Amon-Ra St. Brown, it's Sam Laporta. I mean, it's all over the place. Again, and the two-headed running back attack here with, you know, Montgomery, but then also Jahmyr Gibbs ripping off that big run at the end of the game, too.
Can we talk about Jahmyr Gibbs right now and how well he's playing? Like, he literally has been outplaying David Montgomery now at this point. David Montgomery's still a key part of it, but, man, the explosiveness that Jahmyr Gibbs shows every single week, he's kind of like lighting it up on the football field. Just like this offense, but it's like when you think like, oh, we're just going to bottle him up and take him out of the play. Well, you can't, because now you got to worry about Amon-Ra St. Brown running behind you and catching difficult catches and easy catches and scoring. Like, this team has an answer for everything. And then you're like, okay, well, we're doing a good job stopping the run and we're double teaming Amon-Ra. Now, guess what? Jameson Williams is back this week. Now you got to deal with that deep threat. And also you got to deal with Sam LaPorta, like you mentioned. And also this defense plays much better. So this Texans team now, and quite honestly, one of the teams that we saw, or thought at least, that's going to be able to make the playoffs, they're kind of like wavering right now. You know, having that loss against the Jets, this is a team that we thought was going to be one of these like kind of like easy teams that's going to win their division, get into the playoffs, and who knows what happens after that. This is going to be a very difficult matchup for them, but the Lions, they are red hot right now. And Jared Goff, I'm sorry. I said it before the season started. I'm going to say it again. Jared Goff for MVP. This dude is literally killing everybody. So give me the Lions against the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, I like this game, too. It's going to be close. Again, you brought it up here. Jahmyr Gibbs averaging 6.4 yards a carry. David Montgomery, 4.4. He's leading him, again, 656 yards. And again, yards after, you know, gain two after the line of scrimmage two, leading in that too. So outstanding. And it's outstanding to have these two backs on the same team even too. So you don't know who's getting it back and forth. And that's the luxury that this team does have. And Jared Goff, like you said, MVP year right now. I thought about even doing like a, with it being election time.
Yeah, right.
We can go for our MVPs right now, tonight. You know, what's the poll right here? But I think Jared Goff right now would have my MVP right now at this point.
Definitely.
So I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions on this one. I'm excited to watch the matchup, though, on Sunday night. Chris
Collinsworth
is going to have a day with this one.
All of Blitz Nation out there, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love the support. We want to hear from you guys, too. So, like, we're going through all these game picks. We want to hear down in the comment section. Give us your game picks. Every single one, straight up. We're not doing points or spreads or anything like that. But straight up, who do you think is going to win the game? Let us know in the comments down below. Also, if you feel free and want to do so, make sure you share, your bets for the upcoming weekend. Maybe there's going to be some Blitz Nation people out there that are looking to bet. Maybe they want to utilize your bet. Help each other out. Help the nation grow stronger. And you can also help us grow stronger by heading over to YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up while you're there. Share it to all your family and friends. And also, make sure you comment down below that you're here, because you will be part of the Blitz Nation if you do so. Thank you guys so much. And you can also get us and take us on the go wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there you go. One last game here. Monday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins and the Los Angeles Rams. Rams are one of those teams that just fight it out. You know, I mean, they win, but then again, they don't make it easy. You know, I mean, on themselves, somehow they're grinding out some of these games.
Yeah, right.
Dolphins here look definitely a lot better with Tua. I think they have a chance to win. And a lot of these games here, you're seeing the offense look a hell of a lot better. Tyreek Hill getting involved on top of it. And Devon Achane too. Also, we got a Devon Achane sighting, you know, at least last week, you know, for a little bit.
That's what happens when you have a quarterback.
Yeah, right. Right. So this is going to be a close game here. It's tough to figure out what I'm going to get out of Miami though, again, or even the Rams. So this is like a flip of the coin type of game here for me. What do you got in this one? What do you think?
I mean, I think this is going to be a high scoring game, to be honest. I feel like, you know, we saw a little chink in the armor of the Rams defense last week. They gave up some yardage. They gave up some scores that I think they should have been able to stop Seattle. The Dolphins, on the other hand, this is kind of in their prime, in their heyday last year. They were one of the tougher offenses to deal with Tua and company. Jalen Waddle finally had a touchdown last week, who it's for a lot of fantasy owners out there, they were like, what do I do with this guy? Because I can't put him in my lineup, not doing nothing. And just like you said, too, Devonta Chain also kind of waking up and playing well. This is a Dolphins offense that I think can match point for point with the Rams. But defensively, this is kind of like what holds me up on the Dolphins is the fact that they're banged up on that side. They're hit or miss on the defensive side of the ball for me. And that's kind of what worries me when you're going against teams that, honestly, like Dolphins, if they had a better defense, they would win and beat the Rams. But the fact that of that side of the ball kind of being in question right now, that's what kind of holds me back a little bit. For the Rams, they're a team that's getting healthier. They got a pretty young defense that plays well at times. They got to put it all together on that side of the ball and be more consistent. But when they turn it on, especially that pass rush, it's tough to deal with. The Rams offense now having Cooper Kupp, you saw the big difference in just having Cooper Kupp out there for this offense, what they're able to do, look for Puka Nacua to get back after that ejection, get back in here and make a bigger impact in this game. This is tough. I think I'm going to lean towards the Rams because with those weapons back with Matt Stafford, I think that's going to give them enough edge to at least stay in the game and if not win it at the very end.
Right, and this is what bothers me too, because again, I think offensively they're both equally matched. Like I think you could see them, like you said, score back and forth. I know Jared Verse is up for even Defensive Rookie of the Year too. People are looking at him and the way he's been playing. Yep. There you go. But again, something is just telling me for some reason. Again, them on Monday night, SoFi Stadium. Mm-hmm. I think just Matthew Stafford is going to shine here with this team here. I think I'm just feeling it that the Rams are just going to edge them out here. But it's another game too where you wouldn't be surprised if you do see Tua and Miami, contend here with a team like this. So. All right, so there you go. There are the picks for this week.
There they
week 10. Here we go. We're crossing over the line to past mid-season here.
Right.
So it's going to be all exciting moving on here. You know, it's the Wild West. We've got an election going on. Maybe by the time you guys see this video tomorrow, we'll find out who the president is. We're gauging as we go. A lot of big matchups here. We're attempting to see what happens with the Chiefs. With them, will they stay undefeated? How long will it go? You know, a lot of teams are even contemplating with the Chiefs. Do they start resting some players too? Just forget the undefeated season altogether. Why go for it? Patrick Mahomes banged up right now. A little tweaked ankle here and there.
Ankle,
you know, still has that limp wrist, but he plays with it okay. So they're thinking maybe rest up a little bit. You know, if you can just lock up that division, you know, you're in. So just, you know, why not? Why risk it to just go for that undefeated mark?
The one thing that I'll say for the Chiefs is they're going to continue to win until they lock in the number one seed.
Until it's locked in, then
home advantage. Then you might see them start to bench Mahomes and key players. Other than that,
And up and coming teams. How far will the Arizona Cardinals go right now? They're leading the division now, but it is tight. It's around 50-50 right now with some of these teams. So, and Seattle, they show they can kind of hang in there despite some mistakes by Geno Smith, who's really putting them out of some of these games here. Luckily, they had the opportunity to get back into that game, but because of mistakes on the other team. You know, they're able to get the block punt, things like that. But so many storylines going forward in this season.
Yeah.
It's not done yet. We're excited. We could only imagine what's going to happen next year. How far will the Lions go? So we had a great week this week. We definitely appreciate you guys joining us. And we will see you guys for the next one.
Yeah, right on. We definitely got the so we got a little bit of excitement with the trade deadline looming. We got some trades accomplished. Some teams got better. Some teams just don't give a shit anymore. So they just got rid of their guys. But all in all, thank you guys for so much for tuning in. You could really help us grow, and we are growing like crazy. We're close to 4,000 subscribers right now.
Wow.
We want you guys to be a part of it. With the Blitz Nation, become part of the nation. You can do that by heading over to YouTube, Hit that subscribe button. It's Grumblings Media. That's the channel. Hit that subscribe button. Hit the thumbs up. Share it to all your friends and family that love NFL talk. And also, don't forget, this is an interactive thing here. We want you to comment down below. Let us know your game picks for this week. Let us know how you felt about the trades. Did your team get better? Did your team say, oh, we just need more draft capital? Whatever the case may be, we are the best interactive NFL talk show out there. Want to prove it to you guys out there. You can also take us anywhere you get your podcasts. We'll see you guys next week.